Hi guys, I'm Tech Baby, and you're welcome to the podcast I'm calling From Code to Cocktails. In honor of the second episode, I'm going to start by making a cocktail, and then we're going to be sipping that throughout this episode. It's actually a super simple cocktail to make. It does not require a lot of ingredients. I first tasted this cocktail when I was in LA. There was a guy that ordered it, and since that day, I order it basically every single time I'm drinking out. So you have to take a slice of a grapefruit, and then you just have to squish it at the very, very, very bottom of the cup. Mush it up. Afterwards, we're gonna take a shot of vodka. I prefer Grey Goose. Grey Goose, please sponsor me. Add that to the cup. And lastly, tonic water. Yep. It's just how I like it. All right, I have my drink, I have my mic, I'm comfy, I'm ready to yap. So this podcast is called From Code to Cocktails. My name is Tech Baby, and if you have listened to the first episode, you already know it. I'm an owner of a dating app, single owner of a dating app, and I go on dates, and I have a lot of stories from the past and the present to tell you about my dating experience. And basically, how I like to present myself is I'm the modern life Carrie Bradshaw. Go on dates, recognize problems of dating, and create solutions for them through technology, through my dating app, RiskMe. So, basically, this podcast is divided into two parts. One, I'm telling you, you know, life progress on my business, how it is being a, you know, woman entrepreneur trying to build her company from the ground up, as well as tell you my dating stories of how it is being a girl dating in her 20s. I was supposed to post an episode last week, but I did not do that for two specific reasons. One, my best friend Blondie, who you might know from the first episode, came from New York for her birthday, and then we celebrated that. It was super fun, and unfortunately, afterwards, I got sick. That's why I couldn't record an episode, because my voice sounded like a dead seal. Still does a little bit. You can, you know, kind of sense the fact that I'm stuffy a bit. So, you know, that's great. That's why I'm drinking. That's, you know, that's healing my problems. Anyways, today's episode, I actually want to start with a business story, a business mistake, you can also say. You know how in Netflix they always show like these business stories and like everything's great and like they have like a little milestones, but like they always get through them? I'm going to tell you the real deal, okay? So, long story short, in our company, there are two people, me and my partner. Even though I'm calling myself a tech baby, I actually cannot code, and I'm more like a marketing girly and marketing part of this company. My partner developed the app, and therefore, like, he's mostly working on the app and does not have time to work on like outside things, like, for example, our webpage. Currently, if you go on riskme.app, we have like a very outdated webpage. Like, if you would go on it and like actually like read it, like, you'll realize that there are a lot of things that our app doesn't even have, because we created it prior even app being published, right? I made the UX design. I have no idea, you know, I have no background in like UX or designing whatsoever. Like, it just looks really bad. And whenever, you know, you send your investors or, you know, your customers even like to go on your webpage, like, it's just very embarrassing, because app's so much better than the webpage, but like, people will usually start by going on your webpage before they download the app. So I really wanted to redo that. We got a designer that redid, you know, the design of the app. There's a new like feature that's going to be on our webpage. It's going to be like super cool, like the fact that we have like challenges on our main app. Like, you'll also be able to do like challenges on the webpage. It's going to like look super cool. Like, I have this whole idea. The problem is I need someone to actually develop it. We do not have an investment. Therefore, everything that we are paying for on our, you know, in our business is from our own pockets. Both of us have like our own personal like day job, if you want to call that. So basically, if I would pay someone, I would pay them from my own salary. Therefore, if I want to hire a developer probably earns more money than I earn in my personal life. So there's no freaking way I could pay someone, you know, to do a job. So I would have to outsource other options. You know, there's a problem, there is also a solution. So I was recommended this developer that lives in another country, you know, saying that he's like very good at what he does, and he also is known for being really like cheap. So I sent him like my project idea and everything, sent him the design and asked him, can he do it? He's like, of course, I can do anything. I'm like, okay, so what's your price? So he tells me his price per hour, and I'm like, okay, how many hours will it take you to develop it? And he's like telling me like numbers. He's basically like, I don't know, maybe 70 hours, maybe 100 hours, maybe like 200 hours. I'm like, can you please be very specific? Because it's like really, really important for me because I just simply can't pay you more. Like, we're very, very short on budget. And it's like something that I'm telling him like constantly, like, I'm paying you from my own pocket. Like, you know, we do not have an investment. Like, can you please just tell me the exact price that you will need me to pay you for this project? And he's like, I can't tell you a specific price, but I think it would be a lot more convenient for you to hire me for a month. And I'm like, okay, how much does it cost you to hire you for a month? He tells me a price and actually does fall into my budget. And I'm like, okay, great. Can you finish this project in 1 month? And this is happening in text messages. So he's like, yes, of course, I can finish any like project in a month. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Like, your project's like super simple. I can finish it in a month, like no problem whatsoever. I'm like, amazing, great, let's start working. What he asked is to send me money in advance. So I sent him half of the payment in advance because he also said he was short on money. While we were working together, you know, he was like sending me back and forth like the web page he was developing. I had like minor issues with it that was like, can you redo that and this and that. He was working on it. Eventually, you know, ma month passes, 30 days pass, and he's recording an audio message for me, and he goes, okay, so I have finished a half of it. You know, you can pay me for this month, and then I'll send you an invoice for the next month, and then then we can start working on the next part of it. I'm like, wait a second. No. I cannot pay you for the next month. I don't have the budget for that. You know, if I would have the budget for that, I'd hire a developer in my country. Like, this is the exact reason why I was outsourcing. Like, we are short on money. Like, there's no way I can pay you. And you also told me you'll finish this project in a month. He records an audio for, like, angrily, like yelling at me, saying like, I can't believe it. You scammed me. This is a total scam. Like, can't believe it. I was working for you. I'm like, no. This is not a scam. Like, I literally told you, and I'm sending him screenshots of like the text messages we had. Like, this is the project I have. I asked him if you can finish it in a month. He was like, yes, we can finish it in a month. I said that I were short on money, that I simply can't pay you more, and you knew it like from the very like beginning. He's like, you know, it's going full circle again. He's like, no, but I can't believe it. Like, I will not work for free. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do? Like, I already paid you a half of it. Like, can you at least send me, you know, the code? Like, at least send me what you already did. Like, okay, forgot, but I'll find another developer like to finish the rest of it, like, or something, like, or my partner will finish it. Like, we will figure it out, but like, can you just at least send me like the rest of the code, like everything you have done so far? I'll send you the rest of the money. He ghosts me. I'm like, hey, you know, me again, can you please like send me the code? Like, you know, he ghosts me, he never replies back. And then eventually he texts me, he's like, I hope you like, you know, I'm not gonna send you anything. Like, you're a total scam. Like, I can't believe you couldn't send me the money, and so on and so on. And then he like goes completely MIA with my code. Okay. I never got the web page back. I paid for nothing. I literally paid half of the price I was supposed to pay. He went MIA with the money I paid him. I already, like, we don't have the budget for it. I lost half of the payment that I was like, that was supposed to be for the web apps development that I earned myself. And he went completely MIA. I never got the code. And so right now I'm in a situation where not only did I have to find a completely new developer, you know, and pay that developer the same price that we agreed with this guy, I also have to wait for additional like month or even more for her to finish, you know, the web page. And right now I'm in a position where not only am I overpaying because, you know, I just paid for nothing, I also lost 30 days of time. And like, this is the situation where like, God, like so many like investors, when I talk to them, they're like, well, why is your web page bad? Or like, why do you have bugs? Or why this? Why that? Because we don't simply have the money for it. Like, because we're coming up with solutions like from our own pocket, like to try to like fix things that like we can afford. But like, obviously, we can't afford it. So like, we're basically paying for things and like trying to find like cheaper solutions. But these solutions are bringing us even much more work and like taking a longer time and like things like that. And also like for that guy, like I didn't even know if he worked for a month. Like, he was constantly texting me, like, oh, I can't work today because my electricity in my house is, like, off. Or, like, you know, we have, like, problems with electricity. And I'm like, that's, you know, okay, I'm sorry that happened to you, but it's not my problem. And that's something for, like, hiring people remotely is also, like, if people are working at your office, like, you see basically every single line of code they're writing. But, like, if they're working remotely in another country and you're just finding cheaper solution, like, you can never, like, check if they actually did the work. Like, they might as well scam you for money just like they scammed me. And, like, I'm so, so angry. Like, it made me so frustrated because not only do I have to wait now for, like, additional month for someone to finish my freaking web app, like, we can't move forward, I also, like, lost money that I simply did not have for this project. And it's, like, so frustrating. And that's like a little, like, you know, I'm just telling you, like, real life stories of what's happening, like, in the business. It's like, for instance, like this, like, you know, and, you know, every time I would, like, talk to people about my app, they would, like, bring up comments and be like, well, you really need to change your web app, like, or you really need to, like, change that, or your app has, like, bugs, or, like, this and that. I'm like, I know, okay, but it costs money to, like, do it. And, like, this is what happens when I try to look for cheaper solutions. So I don't know what's the outtake of this, like, either, you know, maybe overpay it, like, to someone who is better at their job, or someone who will simply probably not scam you, or, like, sign a freaking contract, right? Because the reason I didn't sign a contract, because creating a contract also costs money, okay? And we just did not have it. And also, if we did sign the contract and he would, like, you know, ghost me, like, getting a lawyer or, like, suing him would also cost money. Like, everything in this world costs money, and that's, like, so annoying. Like, I know it's, like, something stupid to say, but, like, come on. So that was a little bit of, like, how my business is going. If you are waiting for a new webpage, so am I. And hopefully, like, by the time this episode comes out, like, very soon, there's going to be a new webpage for Risk Me. But at the present moment, we simply don't have it. And some guy probably has some new shoes he bought from my money that I earned myself. Let's take a sip for that. Anyways, on a more positive note, let's talk about friendships. My best friend, Blondie, the girl that I also talked about in the first episode, is someone who I really consider my best friend. I'm someone who also always had problems, you know, creating friendships, finding meaningful connections with friends, because I always ended up in some, like, toxic friendships, because I, as a person, am very rational. Like, my mind works very rationally. That's why I think I'm, like, kind of good with business, is because if there's a problem, I always find a solution for it. Like, that's just how my brain works. And also in relationships, like, whenever there's an argument or something, I always, like, look at it very, very rationally. And then usually I would, like, be friends with people that are very, very emotional, and simply, like, it doesn't work. Like, it's really hard for us to, like, go through an argument or something like that. So many of the friendships that I had previously have failed. And then right now I have found this girl who has literally my brain. Like, we share the same brain cell. And it's so funny. Like, she's also very, very, very rational. And, like, the things we're doing come across as something super, super weird and impossible almost for a lot of people. And one of those things is the fact that we share our boyfriends. So, Blondie is someone who has dated prior. In New York, she has been on a lot of dates, and some of them simply has not worked, you know, some of them just simply didn't work out. Many girls would think, like, if I have dated a guy, even though nothing works out with him, my friends can date him. Like, there is this whatever girl code. If you have dated a guy, like, none of your friends are allowed to date this guy. Well, we actually think from, like, the perspective where one girl's trash is another girl's treasure. And so she would put me on different dates with guys that she has already been on. Like, at least I think we counted, like, 6 or 7 guys that she has dated prior, like, went on dates, like, it didn't work out. Some of them she would dated longer. She would text them and be like, hey, I have a friend, I think you should meet her. And then these guys would take me on a date. And, like, for some people, whenever I tell them that, it's like, they're like, this is so weird, this is, like, impossible, like, you guys are freaking crazy. Where I actually think it's the essence of, like, perfectly non-toxic relationship. Like, if, you know, it's not like these guys belong to me. Like, if it didn't work out with me and them, like, maybe it will work out with her and them. And, like, I just think it's, like, a very healthy way to look at a relationship and say, like, you know, it's not that it's mine, like what's mine and no one can take it. No, like if it didn't work out, like you can have them and that's like no problem. Or even if, you know, there have been guys that she has liked, but they did not like her back. And she was not never like, oh, you can't date them because I had feelings for them. No, it was like, why don't you go out and try? Maybe like it will work out with you. Like maybe they will like you more than me. And I just think that's such a healthy like perspective on how to look at things. That was a pretty long intro. I was just trying to tell you like how our friendship works. But I have a story for you. So when I came to New York, it was like, I think also like the first week I came to New York, I matched this guy on a dating app. And I show Blondie this guy and she's like, oh my God, I have dated him prior. But it wasn't like they went on a date or two. They were kind of like in a few month relationship. Like it was, maybe it was like not a relationship, but they dated for like, you know, few months. And from what I've heard, that ended pretty badly. So it's not like I can go on a date with him and be like, haha, you dated, you know, my best friend, who I'm also living in the same apartment. It was more like, you know, it's better if he doesn't know, because they ended on pretty bad terms. So he would probably instantly associate me with like all of that situation. So I matched with this guy and we start, you know, we went on a date, we went on two, we went on three, like we are like developing a pretty good connection. You know, this guy, and actually the story I have with this guy, who I don't even know if the story is finished yet, but his name is Anniversary Guy. That's what I call him on my TikTok. So if you want to like hear more stories, because the actual like complete story with me and this person, it's like a pretty crazy story. There are a lot of details, a lot I haven't even posted on the internet. So if you are interested, you can go to my TikTok, which is TechBabyNYC, and like check for like scroll down to like stories about the Anniversary Guy. So as Blair Waldorf likes to scam and scheme, sometimes so do I. And this is the situation where my scheming went a little too far and I got caught. So at the time, I was living with Blondie, his, if you want to call it, ex-girlfriend. Obviously, he has been at her apartment. So whenever he would take me home from our date, I would tell him like to, you know, throw me out at a known landmark in New York. And he would always like make jokes about like, oh, you actually probably live in Brooklyn. Like, you just don't want to tell me, like, don't be embarrassed by that. Like, because the metro station was like very like near that mark. And I was like, oh, yeah, I live in Brooklyn, like making jokes back. Like, I have nothing against Brooklyn. Like, I would, you know, live there. Like, I have no problems with that. But I was living in Manhattan at the time. I just didn't want him to know that I was living in Blondie's apartment, because we're two Latvian girls. Like, obviously, he would put two and two together. Like, if the taxi takes us to the same address and we're both from the same country, like, he could put two and two together and, you know that we live at the same address. So I always, like, asked him to let me out. Let's pick a landmark. Let's say the Empire State Building. Like, I would always ask him to, like, let me out at the Empire State Building, right? So he would make these like jokes about, oh, you live in Brooklyn. And I was like, yeah, I live in Brooklyn. We were like having fun. Eventually, after dating for some time, he invites me to his apartment to play backgammon. I love these men. In America, it's legal to take gummies. I hate weed. I have tried it. It's not my, you know, I can't, it's just, it doesn't work with my brain. For some people it works, not for me. So I'm not that I'm against it, just I would simply not use it for my own pleasure. He asked me if I want to try one of those gummies. And I was like, no, like I have tried it prior. Like one time I tried it when I was in London. It was like 3 years ago. I had like the worst ever like trip. It was so bad. Like I felt like I was in GTA 6. Like it didn't even come out, but it did in my brain. So I was like very biased of it. I didn't want to like try it. But somehow, I don't know how, he convinced me to take a gummy. And I was like, you know what, you know, that happened 3 years ago, maybe I'll have like a completely different reaction from it. So 30 minutes pass, we like play backgammon or whatever, and it kicks in. And it kicks in so bad that I can't remember my own name. Like, I absolutely hate the feeling. Like, it's so bad. And I had such a bad trip and such a bad reaction. I don't know why. Were these like specific gummies? But these gummies made me become so rude and so honest, to the point where I was trash talking his apartment for an hour straight. This guy was very wealthy, but he had horrible taste. I mean, imagine a millionaire that has like $20 Amazon paintings on the wall. Like, I'm not even freaking kidding. Not paintings, like print out pictures. He had such bad taste. And when the gummy kicked in, I started trash talking his apartment to the point where I named his Baccarat glassware IKEA glassware. He had some cords like sticking out of the television, and I was like, is that the new art exhibition in MoMA? Like, why is your apartment so trash? Like, I went like full Anna Delvey, like, yalock paw, like, that's disgusting. To the point where this guy was like, oh my God, you're freaking crazy. I'm gonna take you home. And he's like, you're not staying at my apartment. Like, you're going home. Like, you're not well. Like, I was actually not well. I had the worst trip ever. Like, the gummies kicked in. Gummies were kicking every single brain cell in my brain. Like, it was so bad. Like, the comments I made about his apartment, like, it was to the point where I said, like, it feels like someone died in here. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Anyways, back to the story. So he's like, you're going home. I'm like, okay. He calls a cab and he gets into the cab with me. And I'm like, oh, sir, thank you. You can, I can go. He's like, no, like, I'm so sorry, but you're not well. Like, it's my responsibility. I gave you that gummy, which is like really nice from like when you think like from a gentleman's perspective, but it's not really nice for my story because I freaking live with your ex-girlfriend, okay? So I'm like, no, like, you can get out of the car. Like, I really don't need you here. He's like, no, like, I'm gonna make sure you come home well. God, this is so bad. So we're driving in the car and like, you know, even though I'm like high as fuck, like, I'm like, I have to figure out something because he can't see where I walk in. So he's like, what's your address? And then I remembered that some days prior, I had a business meeting in a building across the street. And I'm like, okay, I can get into the lobby. I'll just sit there, wait there until he leaves. And then I'll walk, you know, across the street to my apartment and everything will be fine. So I give him a fake address of the building next to the building I'm living in. He takes me to that address and he's like, do you want me to walk you in? I'm like, no, 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 no. It's totally fine. Like, I'll just get there, whatever. I get out of the car. I walk into the lobby and I see these like two big, like muscular... like security guys. My eyes, I looked in the mirror later, red like tomatoes, like two tomatoes, like looking at you. And I decide to, I'm like, you know, what do I tell them? Because I'm in the middle of the night, I'm in their lobby, like high as fuck. So I go, guys, I need your help. Like, there's a man following me. Paranoid, like they see I'm high, so they're like, okay, yeah, sure, you can wait here, but like, they know like I'm high, I'm just paranoid, like they're actually like making fun of me. Anyways, I'm standing in the lobby for 10 minutes, and then I realize like the lobby has like glass wall that like just in front of me there is a taxi driver like in the car, but my brain was so scrambled from these gummies that I can't remember in which car did we arrive, so I can't figure out whether it's his car and he's still waiting for me or like it's somebody else's car. I waited there for like 10 minutes and then I like went out of the lobby, you know, went to my building, like just like in front of that car, that taxi car that was standing outside, went home, went to sleep. I was like, okay, thank God that's over. Let's just hope like he didn't see me like get out of the lobby. Like, let's just hope everything's fine. Like, he believed that I went to that building, like, and I live there and everything's fine. So the next day I wake up and I go for a little morning walk to take my coffee, and I walk past the building I had my little paranoia at yesterday, and that building is all glass. Like, the lobby, like the walls, complete glass from all sides. So imagine if it's night and the lobby is lit up. Like, it doesn't matter where on the street you're standing, you see exactly what's happening in the lobby. And I was standing, like, my arms crossed, waiting for 10 minutes straight in the middle of the lobby. So even if he wasn't, like, if he was in that cab, you know, he saw me. If you're a person just walking the street, you saw me. Like, anyone who crossed that building saw me in that middle of that lobby, like, eyes like tomatoes, arms crossed, waiting for 10 minutes straight for the man that's following me. There was nobody following me. Anyways, I send that guy like a long message. I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. Like that was for yesterday. Like, I'm so sorry for like trash talking about your apartment. Like, I love your apartment. Like, I'm so, so, so sorry. Like, I should have never taken the gummies. He's like, yeah, let's forget about it. Like, it wasn't nice, but like, it's also my responsibility that I gave you the gummies. Like, you know, let's forget about it. So we forget about it. You know, day goes by, we go on our next date. We go on a date, you know, the date's going well. And then after the date, he's like, can I take you home? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Not even thinking about it. Like, not a single idea crossing my brain. So we get into the cab, and the cab pulls up to my actual building. Blondie's building. The building I'm actually living in. And I look at him and I go, you realize I never gave you the address. And he goes to the taxi driver, the second door is better. Because there are two doors and one takes you to the main apartment and the second door takes you exactly to the elevator where Blondie lives. I am embarrassed as fuck. I am like sitting at the back of that car, like can't say a word. Like I'm literally embarrassed to the point where like I'm probably like my face is red. Like he looks at me and I look at him and I'm like, you figured it out? He's like, yep, I figured it out. I'm like, well, at least, you know, I don't live in Brooklyn. So, yeah, we laughed about it. He was okay with it. We even went to dinner, like, all three of us, me, Blondie, and him once. And, like, it's all good. It's all on good terms. Just, like, it's so funny. Like, that's why you don't lie, okay? That's why be truthful to your partners. And even if, like, you know, they ended on bad terms and you want to, like, date someone, like, just tell them the truth, because you don't want to become like, you don't want to end up in such an embarrassing position as I ended up. That was like really, really, really bad. That was the story about how I just really messed up with my own schemes and scams. I just spilled out my drink. So let's take a sip for this one and let's move to the next story. So the next story is how I didn't even know dated a tech guy, and he asked me to be his girlfriend through a PPT PowerPoint presentation. Great story. I really don't want to sound like a pick me girl, but I've always been more like a guy's girl than a girl's girl. Like I've, not that I'm not a girl's girl, just like I've always had more guy friends, and it's simply because I always did more sports as a child, and I've always been like working in industries that are like, you know, like right now I'm in tech industry, so I obviously find friends in tech, and sometimes, most times, they are guys. Not to sound like, pick me, like guys love me, but they do. Anyways, I became friends with this like company of tech guys, and I was really friendly to them. I never thought of like anything outside of our friendship. So eventually this guy that I'm spending a lot of time with, like we're just like, you know, it was mostly like, it was like work wise, but also like friendship wise, we had like a very good vibe. And eventually, like literally out of nowhere, this guy and I, we have never kissed. We have never touched hands. Like we have never hugged more than 2 seconds. Like he out of nowhere, like we're sitting in a cafe, asked me to be his girlfriend. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm complete, like, in shock. Like, I never even thought this guy had, like, this slightest feeling towards me. Like, and he's asking me to be his girlfriend. So I was in complete shock. He went to another country for, like, a week. And he's like, after, you know, I come back, like, I need you to give me an answer. And I'm, like, in shock because, you know, like, you usually know when someone, like, likes you and, like, if they want to pursue a relationship with you. But it's, like, very uncommon for someone who you consider a friend or even, like, a coworker, like, to ask you to be his girlfriend after you haven't even touched hands once, ever. Anyways, he gives me that week. I'm like super confused. I after he comes back, I did not have feelings for him. Like I'm gonna be completely honest. Like I completely friend zoned him, but I was like, you know what? Let's give it a try or whatever. So we tried dating and it did not work out. And then I eventually gave him my like last word, and I was like, you know, because I felt like I was like dragging him along all the time because I didn't want to lose the friendship, but I also didn't want a relationship with him. So I was constantly like giving him like false, like, oh yeah, maybe, like maybe later, like maybe this, maybe like that. Like it was like completely wrong from my side. Like it was like very egoistic personally because I didn't want to lose a friend because I knew that if I say no, that like there is gonna be no friendship. And yeah, there was never a friendship again, but we'll get to that. Afterwards, I mean, eventually, I decide that like it's very narcissistic and egoistic of me to like drag him along, like tell him that like something's gonna happen, but like nothing is gonna happen, and I know that for a fact. So I text him and I'm like, hey, I've decided, like, sorry, like there is gonna be no relationship. And he goes, no shit, like, why are you telling me this right now? Because I made you a presentation. And I'm like, what? He's like, I made you a presentation. And I'm like, what kind of a presentation? He's like, a presentation for you to be my girlfriend. I'm like, like these tech guys, like tech guys is a different breed. If you have ever dated a tech guy, like I want to hear your story because I bet there is a story. Like tech guys, just completely different breed of people. I'm like, I'm curious. So I'm like, well, you can present it anyways. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Why not? So the next day I meet him and he literally opens up on the big freaking screen a PowerPoint presentation. I can't make this shit up. The slide by slide, there was literally him presenting himself like, I'm this person, these are my hobbies, this is that, da da. He took like pictures from vacations and like drew me in, which is like so cute. Like, why do I never like the nice guys? Like, why do I always fall for the psychopathic assholes? Like, I'm literally Leah from Love Island. I'm like, he's so nice, but I need someone to like send me to the psych ward. Like, I get you, girl. Like, I get you. Like, I can never fall for the nice guys. Anyways, he creates like slide by slide this perfect PowerPoint presentation where it's literally like, you know, how he sees our relationship and everything and so on, and like presenting himself, like making a list of his best qualities, like pros and cons, like freaking Venn diagram. Like I'm just looking at it and I'm like, I am so confused. Like there were 10 slides or something of him like literally presenting his, I don't know, his interest in me, our relationship, himself, like, you know, in total. And I was just standing there and I felt at the moment, like right now looking back at it, it was so sweet, but like at the moment, like looking at it, I felt so awkward because I just told the guy that like nothing's gonna happen and he literally is making a freaking PowerPoint presentation. So after the presentation, he's like, well, actually there was one more slide that I did not include after you told me that like there is not gonna be a relationship. So I tried to get out of him, like, what's the slide? What's the slide? He's like, oh, I don't wanna tell you, like I'm embarrassed. He's like, I'm like, please tell me. He's like, I made a slide where I asked if you wanna sleep with me. In a PPT presentation. Like I can imagine if there was a slide. Like, I wish I didn't tell him, like, that I don't want to be his girlfriend, like, day prior, because I, that would be a, you know, such a checkpoint in my life to see a PowerPoint slide saying, do you want to sleep with me? So after, you know, he shows me the presentation, I'm, like, feeling, like, super awkward, like, obviously, like, this is the end, like actual the end of the presentation, the end of this relationship, and most probably the end of this relationship, this friendship. But that wasn't the end, because out of nowhere we get a knock on the door and two of his friends that are also my friends come in, and he invited them to show them the presentation as well and like see their point of view. Like, what do they think? How would they rate the freaking presentation? The presentation about me and him and our relationship is viewed by other people. Like, if you didn't think it was awkward before, now maybe you think it's awkward, because I was literally so embarrassed. I wanted to like literally fall into quicksand. Like, I was sitting there while he was going slide by slide again, presenting the presentation to his friends that are also my friends. The presentation about me, the presentation that used to have a slide where he asked if I want to sleep with him. Like, imagine how awkward that felt. And to be honest, like, that's what I love about tech guys. Like, they always come up with like the weirdest solutions ever that probably are not weird for them. Like, these are the people that will tell you I love you in binary code. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was like so cute, but it also is like so weird. Anyways, I love tech guys. If you have a story about like dating a tech guy, like please let me know. So my drink has almost come to an end, and so has this episode. As you know, at the very end of every episode, I'm going to tell you my business development story of how we build RiskMe to the point where it is at right now. So in the last episode, I told you that I came up with the idea, had no previous experience whatsoever working in tech, had no idea about how the industry works, had no idea about how investments work, looked for my investors literally on Seeking Arrangements, like had no, you know, nothing was going on in here. I just had the idea and I really needed someone to make it happen. So for 6 months straight, I was running around, like looking up people on LinkedIn that had any previous skills in like development, like app development, also like had meetings with like investors, were pitching them my idea, but everything I heard was a no, a big fat no. Investors were telling me like, I'm a single person in this like, you know, business, have no knowledge in tech whatsoever. Why would they invest in someone who has no team? So they were asking me to like find a team, find a developer, build a product. Developers that I was approaching were asking me for money. They were like, why would I like work with someone who has no previous experience whatsoever? Why would I work for equity? Like, what if this idea doesn't even, you know, end up happening? I need money. If you want me to work, like, pay me money. So I was stuck in like a middle, like I was literally stuck in a loop where investors were asking me for a team and team were asking me for money, and I had neither of those things. So for 6 months straight, I was running around like pitching my idea to everybody, heard no, 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 and no again. And then I gave up. I actually gave up, which is something that I usually don't do, but I was like, you know what, maybe this simply is not for me. Like, you know, maybe I should just stick with the industries I do know. Maybe dating is not like the industry I was supposed to work in, and neither is tech. Like, just stick with your businesses that you have. And I had a jewelry company at the time, and I gave up. So after 6 months, I had this like company constantly inviting me to business breakfast. It's like a networking event where they create like, you know, breakfast, and then you network with people about like your businesses and their businesses. And this was like a paid event, so I never went. Like, I was like, why would I need that? And then eventually they invited me for free. They were like, why don't you come like see for yourself if you do like the event, like we're gonna invite you for free for the first time. And I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go eat breakfast for free. Like, free breakfast sold. So I went there with no expectations whatsoever. And when you came into the event, you had to like fill out a form, you know, writing about your business. I gave up on RiskMe so much that I wrote about my jewelry company. I was like, yeah, I'm a jewelry company owner, blah, 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 yappa, yappa, yappa. I was one of the last persons to speak, and like we had like three tables at the table, like there were like a bunch of people, and then you stood up and like you had to like tell about your business story. One of the first guys ever that like stood up, he stands up and he goes, hi, I'm Davis. So I am a developer, I'm an app developer, I'm looking for someone with an idea, and I actually really like the dating sector. At that moment, not even joking, I look up and I'm like, God, is this for me? Because like, I completely gave up. I was like, I'm done with this project. Of course, when my turn came, I did not talk about the jewelry company. I was like, I am an Evelyn. Like, I have an idea for a dating app. Like, I, you know, I really want to talk to you. And so immediately when we had the moment where we could connect, like I pulled him by his hand. I was like, you're talking to me. And we had 5 minutes to talk, where basically the formula of those 5 minutes were 2 minutes you talk, 2 minutes your partner talks, then 1 minute you talk about how you could help each other. I talked for 4 minutes straight, just pitched him like every single corner of RiskMe I knew at that point, and he only had 1 minute left, and he's not a man of many words to this day, and the only thing he said after I pitched him my idea was, okay, I'll build it for you. Like, not a hesitation. Like, I literally, it was like a movie moment. I was like, no, you don't understand the app. What? Like, it was that moment. I was like, I was so confused when he said that. So he did know me, like he told me that he did know about my social media presence, which kind of would be a great point to build an app with someone who does have a big social media presence that could market the app through her social media, which I also am doing still. So he thought that we were a good team, and so did I. Next day I wrote him an email and I was like, are you serious? Like, will you actually build the app? And he was like, yeah. And he single-handedly built the app for me. Like, And I'm just telling you the story, like, it's such a movie moment. Like, I was actually, I gave up. I gave up to the point where I went to a business networking event and I didn't want to mention a single thing about this business because I was like, this business is a closed deal. Like, I gave up on it. Like, I'm just not made for this industry whatsoever. And then I find that person. The person that, like, after, you know, 100 no's I heard from those in those 6 months, like, somebody said a yes. Somebody believed in my idea. And we're partners to this day. He completely built the app himself. And, you know, like, there have been a lot of ups and a lot of down, like a lot of ups and a lot of like going down, but I'm like super happy that we're a team and that he believes in Risk Me and believes in my idea and is my partner. And yeah, and that's like to the point where he built the app and we started working together. Next like episode, I can tell you about how we started marketing it, which is like more like my side of the story of like how we created events and everything. But yeah, I think we're done with today's episode. I really hope you liked it. I hope it was interesting. If you did like it, please share it with your friends. I'm a new podcaster and it's a new podcast. If you want to hear more about my daily dating life, you can follow me on TikTok, which is TechBabyNYC, or my Instagram, which is at MovieEvelina, where I post, you know, different posts about my daily dating as well as my business and how is it going. And yeah, follow me on Spotify or YouTube or wherever you're listening to this podcast. And I will see you in my next episode. Ciao!